The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12 midday on Man in Line. Open line through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Whatever's on your mind, something you'd like to place before the nation. Text 166 177. Email studio at maxradio.com. Or you can WhatsApp 166 177 as well. Just to reiterate, and you heard Beth mention it in the news, police and partner agencies are dealing with a road traffic collision on the Slock. The road's closed from the bottom of the Slock to Ballykill Ferrick Road Junction, so do avoid the area. We'll let you know when that road is clear, but that's closed from the bottom of the Slock to the Ballykill Ferrick Road Junction. I was talking yesterday about solar panels and also the fact that the government has been swathed in a big green flag for more than a year, certainly before the election and during the election and subsequently, and how much has happened. Well, it's interesting to look at the Green Living Grant situation. I don't know whether you've applied for one, but we've had some information just really about how many grants have been applied for, successfully approved. It's updated on a weekly basis, as well as how much has been offered. It doesn't actually say how much cash has been given, though. Anyway, the current stats as of last Friday, which is the most up-to-date we have. Number of applications approved for the Manx Home Energy Audit. This is when they come and basically audit your home. 1,992. Number of Manx Home Energy Audits completed, 1,581. Total number of grant applications received out of the 1,581 energy audits completed, 153. So basically 10% of people have applied for a grant. The number of grant applications approved, i.e. out of the 153 applications from the 1,581 audits completed, 18. 18 grant applications approved. And of those 18, the total value of the grant offered, a grand total of £29,998.89. It doesn't seem much, does it, really? So the Manx Home Energy Audit into the Green Living Grant applications, the number approved and the amount offered out of... We have 44 odd million pounds in the Climate Change Transformation Fund. We've offered basically £30,000 for people who've applied for this. If you've applied for this, if you have a home energy audit, and if you've applied for a grant application, a Green Living Grant, just wonder what the state of play is regarding what you've had to do. Lots of comment yesterday also about the MGP, the shortened MGP. Good afternoon. 422 texter, this was, came in after the show. Just to say, I haven't heard many positive comments regarding the shortened MGP program, but I do know for a fact that, when this person says they know for a fact, they've heard somebody say this, that if they had their way, the Manx wouldn't happen because there's no need for the event to happen. Now, I've heard anecdotally stuff like this whereby... some people say they're basically running down the MGP because they want it to go. So I hope this isn't the start of them getting their own way, says Texter 422 for the MGP. It's been shortened, obviously. In fact, there are still a few bikes from visitors around the Isle of Man. So I just wonder how important this is to the Isle of Man. Well, hopefully we'll speak to Rob Callister at some point in the future, the politician responsible for motorsport. Andy says, 692, they've removed the badly damaged wall on the sunken gardens, So surely, why don't they leave it down until spring now, as no doubt we're going to get more storms over the winter and perhaps breaking it again and costing even more money. I wonder. David's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just before, I want to talk about the main river down at Tramode there and the guy that's having difficulty on the farm. I don't know the particular person on there, but when I was in the DOI, that was some years ago now, when the main river's adopted by, under legislation, there's a duty of that government department, which was the DOI, to make sure that any debris that was in the main streams that were adopted, or the rivers that were adopted, was actually cleared. And they should be doing that as a matter of course, I would say, even if that particular river is not covered under legislation. I'm sure it will be. And I just wonder why we're arguing about, which the DOI have the machinery, the plant and whatever, the drag trees and build up in the river to stop it flooding down through. We've got a beautiful industrial estate there at Tramode, and I wouldn't like to see that flooded like Laxey was. So there is a concern out there as far as when I was a kid, we used to walk down there by the laundry there, and then there was a big lake at the back where the swans were. And I just wonder what's happening with government actually saying that they're not going to do things and maybe not talking to people.
Have you ever heard of this subject or this problem coming up before?
In my time when I was in Parliament, yes. There was a duty of the department we used to walk the rivers, and if there were trees that were bending over or likely to fall into the river and go downstream, because like the guy is saying, if it would all collect at the bridge there at Tramode, you'd have a situation like Laxey did, where the force of water, when it breaks open, you'd be surprised how much damage that does. Well, you look at where it is now in the world, how much water that's come through, which has destroyed half a village.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, and obviously, bearing in mind what happened in Laxey a couple of years ago, and that was caused by some debris in the river, it's something that obviously everybody needs to keep their eye on.
Well, yes, because downstream from there, Tramode as well, you've got the falls down by where Jim's Football Club is.
Yes.
And then it goes then on to the Quarter Bridge, you know, down through there. So anything that goes through or tries to get through will just back up on all these obstacles that are in there. And you look at, even you look, walk around the NSC track and where the riverside is, where it's built up there, you look how much gravel and the banks behind the fire station and the burger place and all that. We should be taking that out because it's good, clean stuff to be using and make that a little bit deeper.
Interesting. I was down there the other day and looked in, and there's so much vegetation because there's been so little water. The vegetation is growing as quickly as anything in that riverbed.
Yeah, and we're not looking at it because I certainly feel for certain people now, because people still in Laxey can't get insurance, and if you're blackened by a potential environment you're in that says your potential to flooding without any mitigation, it's going to cost, or you'll never get insurance, or it'll cost you a fortune to do it.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that, David. Thanks.
See you, bye.
Cheers. Now, who's responsible for keeping the island rivers clear of debris? So it's a question that Alf Kane, who owns Castlewood Farm, is raising. He believes a build-up of gravel and tree debris in the River Glass is putting his home at risk of flooding. Alf says homes and businesses in Tramode are under threat because the DOI hasn't kept the rivers clear.
Basically, the DOI say riverbank erosion is a natural phenomenon and it is the landowner's responsibility, despite the Flood Risk Management Act 2013, which says main rivers is the responsibility of the DOI.
At the end of the day, the threat to houses downstream is real. We've seen what's happened in Laxey from a similar situation of dead trees washing down the river and stones blocking the causeway. Potentially this is another Laxey.
Well, if we go back to 2015, there was a flood at Tramode And the bridge was not blocked by all accounts at that time, but just high river flows. If the bridge is blocked, the flood risk for Tremord Industrial Estate would be catastrophic.
And the danger is that this is going to happen time and time again.
Yes, of course, and more certainly more so now with this huge blockage which is built up over the years.
Well, another issue impacting rivers on the Isle of Man recently has been low levels in the reservoirs. Manx Utilities has asked to take water from the rivers to bolster drinking water supplies. Political member for the Department for Environment, Food and Agriculture, Dr. Michelle Haywood, MHK, says this can have a big impact on the rivers.
It shouldn't be a last-minute thing every time. It shouldn't be those panic situations. We know this is what rainfall patterns look like. And so it's absolutely beholden on the MUA. And if they haven't got the capacity to do it within the organisation, to go outside and to commission the report that looks at how do we smooth out that demand over the years. Do we have to change what people do with water? Almost certainly yes, we have to see it as a scarce resource, but do we have to change how we manage it? Should we be opening up other areas and you know, piping water across? Because we can't keep hitting this fall off the edge of a cliff and start turning the water flows down. And I think what's happened in this year, and it's the same in previous years, that they suggest a massive reduction in flow straight away. And DEFRA have always pushed back and said, OK, can you do it little by little? You know, let's give us a chance to get in there and to save what we can. But ultimately, you're saving the big obvious things like the fish. You're not saving all of the invertebrates that support the fish life, and you're not saving the rest of that riverbed. So it will have a really negative effect on the biodiversity in our river systems.
That's Michelle Haywood, MHK. If this affects you or you have an opinion on it, maybe you live by a river and you're concerned about the state of the riverbed, or you just think that the flows are too low nowadays, just get in touch. We'd appreciate your opinion. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just listened to David there with the maintenance of the rivers, etc. It's one of these things that they're tangled up with government. Michelle Haywood has just been on there now. She has a good point in the what we don't see is on the bottom of the river, invertebrates, etc., which the fish will feed on. But all down through Tremord, where the Raddon football pitch used to be, it's now an industrial site, there was the dam up there, as we called it. That was for Klux's laundry. And the mill race would come down from the top side. There were two salmon traps. Salmon jumps, because I used to play down there as a kid, which is a long time ago, and the river came up through and split, and it would go up through to Ballot Oaks and then up past what used to be the old Litz. Well, there was always a good feeding ground up there, because you can imagine what it was like for blowflies, etc. But this seems to be a competition between the DOI and DEFRA and various other aspects of how to maintain the rivers. And it should be done sensibly, because I believe, I haven't been down, but I believe the mill race on the lower side of the Tremord Dam has been shut down now completely, so there's no water going down through into where the laundry was. I don't know what the plans are for the dam itself. But that was water storage. And then, as I say, further up, right up through to, I think it was to Ballor Oats or George's Bridge, that was where the salmon used to travel right up through. And if you had to follow that river right up through into Baldwin, there was salmon traps and everything further up there for where they were laying the eggs. But nowadays, I don't know whether you get the salmon up that far or not. But there seems to be competition between all forms of government. One says we're going to do such and such a thing, and the next section says, no, you can't do that because of. And another one says, well, it might be better, and somebody said, no, it does. So they're going round in a circle, and nothing's getting done. The classic example is when, you may remember, a couple of years ago, where the NSC, and they had a serious flood down there, and they decided, right, oh, we're going to take out a load of the rubbish that's built up over the years, back of the fire station, McDonald's and all around that area. Well, I said on your programme that a child with a bucket and spade could have done more. They had the excavator in the river, but they left a huge, big island of weed, stone and rubbish at the back of the fire station, and that's still there to this day. So they, whoever done the job or whoever oversaw the job only done half, and it's still partially blocked even now. So you get a full flood of water coming down through there. It certainly narrows it down a lot. And then, well, they built a wall up to stop the NSC flooding. But the two rivers meet just downside the Dhu and the Glass. So you're going to get a huge backlog of water there. And what's right in the middle of it? The NSC. So they've got a small bank. But if you get a good flood coming down, there's two rivers coming into that. And that's where the problem. But higher up, if the DOI were doing the job they're supposed to, they would be inspecting the rivers on a regular basis and removing potential threats.
I think most people, Howard, most people just know the rivers are there. Most people don't understand the interaction between water and watercourses on the Isle of Man. There is an ecosystem in there.
Yep.
People look at the rivers, and I would imagine the general population trusts the government and government departments to be doing the right thing. So when you hear contradictory messages, you kind of just raise an eyebrow and think, well, who is in charge?
Well, again, it's going back to the old adage, silo thinking. I'm with this section of government, and I think this, and somebody else is thinking something else, and nobody will get their heads together and say, right, oh, what can we do? There's no I in the word team, and that's what's wrong with it. They're not working together to clear the rivers sensibly. The rivers, if done properly, will recover fairly quickly, and the ecosystem in them. But a lot of them are just being left to their own resources, and they're gradually getting narrower and narrower. And hence, if you get a decent flood of water coming down, they've got a much narrower way of getting down through back to the sea. We're lucky. We are very lucky because our rivers are only short. And they go straight out to sea, and if the tide is out, that's a bonus. A lot of the UK rivers have got, long, long miles to run, and that's where they're getting their flooding. And this is where half the problem is here. They're not, and I seriously say not, maintaining them properly.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Bye now.
Okay, it's 24 minutes past 12. How do you apply for a Green Living Grant, says Stella? I'll tell you in a moment. There's a big website all about it how much you can get. I'm waiting for my audit. I'm looking forward to a good laugh, says Des. The MGP is still a very important event within the island's tourism calendar. This is Rob Callister, the MHK, the man who's responsible for motorsport on the Isle of Man, or the politician representing it. So I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the Max Motorcycle Club, the volunteers that made the event possible. And I look forward, says Rob, to working with the Max Motorcycle Club committee to deliver a very special centenary MGP in 2023. That's Rob Callister's response to that. I think people have lost their marbles, says Gary. Well, there's a sweeping statement. Can nobody see that climate change is made up mumbo jumbo? It's about taxing you more and more money and control over you. Wake up, my fellow human beings. Gary's in charge of the world today. Thank you for that, Gary. Give us a call. Let's hear what you have to say. And regarding the MGP, Richard says, I've heard this alleged stuff about people trying to run down and remove the MGP altogether. But as I understand, the MGP is the entry point for future TT riders. So surely without the MGP, the TT would be in danger of being killed off, says Richard. Again, it's a point that's been made before, and thanks for making it again, Richard. The MGP, it's the nursery slopes for the TT. It's how people get in. So it will be interesting to see. And again, thank the Lord, it was fatality-free this year, and everything went well, and we had the weather with us most days. So good news. But it will be interesting to see who is responsible and what's going to happen with the MGP in the future. And also, talking of Rob Callister, of course, Rob Callister is chairman of the MUA, Manx Utilities. And do Manx Utilities look after river and the flooding? So that. And who and John said also, who removed the groins from? I mean, it's nothing to do with flooding, but it's interesting because perhaps it affects the cross shore drift of Douglas Beach and what's happening there. But the groins show no sign whatsoever. We've been trying to locate where they took the groins, or if the groins are available, or if anybody is ever going to take responsibility for putting the groins back on Douglas Beach. Or will we be groin-free forevermore? This is a repeat of the beach and prom problems. They used to clear the steps down to the beach. Now it's almost level with the prom. And, says John, of course, they're the ones that removed the groins. So we'll look more at that. And just regarding the Green Living Grant, Sheila, I'll tell you, if you want to go to, it's the Department for Enterprise. So you go to either Isle of Man Government, IOM, gov.im, sorry, or IOMDFEnterprise.im. There's a Green Living page, and there's the whole Green Living Grant scheme stats are on there as well. The Green Living Grant has been created to assist you, that's you, with the reduction of carbon emissions and your household energy bills, and provides a financial contribution of up to £5,725 per property to help make residential properties more energy efficient. Now, it's two parts. The first provides a Manx home energy audit, i.e. somebody comes out with a clipboard, looks around your house, and tells you what's what with your energy usage and makes recommendations. And then comes the second part, providing funding of up towards the cost of energy saving solutions identified by that Manx home energy audit. Financial support of 75% is available for the recommended works with a value of less than £1,000, and 50% for recommended works for a value over £1,000. Now, Department for Enterprise administers it, and it's part of the government's commitment to reach net zero by 2050 to incentivise you to retrofit such items that the government action plan really to reach the target. So all sorts of stuff about this. And I just want to know if you've applied for this energy audit, what's happened in the Green Living Grant. Interestingly, and this is a UK piece of information, so just caveat that this is UK, it's the most desired green renovations, and this is purely based on Google search data between July 2021 and July of this year. So it's basically what people are searching, the most searched items for green home renovations. There's a top 10. Number 10 is triple glazing. Number 9 is thermal insulation. Joint number 9 is dual pane windows. Is that double glazing? Dual pane windows. Number 7 is solar panels. Number 6 is underfloor insulation for wooden floors. Number 5 is a low carbon heat pump. Number 4, skylights. Number 3, and this is UK related, it's the EPC rating, their energy performance certificate. Number 2 is high heat retention storage heaters. And the number 1 most desired green renovation, i.e. something that will make your house more sustainable and save you money, is loft insulation. So how do we go about this? What do you think the answer is? And have you applied for this? Have you been audited? Have you applied for a Green Living Grant?
At ShopRite, a big slice of our range is continually priced to match or better other supermarkets. We call it Price Match Plus. The plus being what others simply don't match. Like ShopRite Savers, low prices, choice and value you won't get elsewhere. With brands like Sainsbury's and no need to travel miles. Plus, the difference being locally owned makes. We're loyal supporters of local food producers and businesses, and benefit the Manx economy directly. ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Douglas Borough Council is introducing fortnightly garden waste collections over the next 2 weeks. This service will complement our existing curbside recycling collection, and the Eastern Civic Community site will continue to provide garden waste skips. If your garden waste is not collected this week, please put it out next week. To apply for a garden waste bin, visit recyclenow.im or email recycling@douglas.gov.im. We'd also like to thank Zero Waste Man for their support.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small, day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer. Yay! Your movers are here. They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Manx Utilities are currently replacing prepayment customers' key meters with new smart electricity meters in homes in Port Erin, Port St Mary, Ballabeg and Culby. As a smarter pay-as-you-go customer, you can access our new Smarter Living app to keep an eye on your energy use in real time and to top up your credit quickly at a time that suits you. You can also top up at selected stores and via our website. To find out more about the changes, visit the Smarter Living page at manxutilities.im.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see in this? Mm-hmm.
Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
It's 27 minutes before 1. Lots of WhatsApps in as well today. What's the cut-off date for DBC issuing green waste bins? And is there a charge after the... Is there a cut-off date for Douglas Borough Council? I think if you're entitled to one, and if obviously if you're a ratepayer and you're entitled to one, then you should get one. The mill race in Castletown is part of our flood defence as well. Please pay attention to that, says this texter. And lots of messages in today, including one that just said, I spoke to a top racer at the weekend, very happy with the shortened MGP, helped them timetable a lot of what they were doing. So that's fine. Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy? Are we having a crisis-free day today?
There's nothing, what is it, extreme about today. I think that's what it is. We're having an extreme blue sky day.
Oh, it's a slow news day. I had a crisis the other week there. You know, I was waiting all day at the agricultural show for my man in line tea towel and it never came.
Oh, no. Actually, we've got a backlog of people awarded man in line tea towels. So
I've had to stitch my old one up, Andy. You know, there's a recession on. I thought a justified one, but there you go.
We'll put you on the list for a man in line tea towel, Juan.
I'll get my Zimmer frame out and hold on for that one. I'll wait for that one. It was nice to see so many bikers and everything down in Peel yesterday, just jotting around. And I don't know whether they'd thought that the event was on for the week or whatever, or whether they're spending more time here enjoying the island. But it's good to see there's still a huge amount of people down in Peel with bikes and German and Dutch speaking. I would have thought that they would have tried to make the events longer, even maybe if the racing was shorter, but put on some events to make it into a week event. People seem to, you know, they're traveling a long way to get here. You'd have thought that the present circumstances, they want to encourage people to be here longer and get the spend up on the island rather than shorten the event. But definitely nice to see. You were talking about the water and reservoir things before. I don't know, have you heard that they actually now keep the Sulby Reservoir lower? Because of the flood risk areas in Sulby, it's not used to its full potential anymore.
Is that so? I mean, when it is full, it goes down the overspill down the middle, doesn't it? Down that pipe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that you hear people coming up with stuff and talking about that it's now kept at a lower level because of the flood risk. Just nice if someone came on actually and clarified that, and that you know, obviously if we've got a water shortage, if it's now, you know, kept at a lower rate, then we're going to have a water shortage quite quicker.
Well, I don't think that, I mean, we're nearly in September, and we know what happens in the Isle of Man after September, and certainly between October and April, I don't think we're going to be short of water.
I don't think so anymore. The crisis is averted now. And I was just touching on a couple of things, because I haven't been on for a little while, except for talking to Al Cannon last week, and I was talking about the farming and helping the farmers out, and I just wanted to clarify. I talked to a few people, and helping farming rather than farmers. I know a lot of farmers or people who have been farming now get a lot of money from government not to really farm their land, just to keep this as a green field initiative. My concern was about farming and genuine farmers who are farming the land, the future of our food. That was my main concern. And I think, I mean, I asked Alf one question, and he body swerved me on that one about the seaweed and the use of fertilisation, and went straight back on in his next statement to say that they were helping on the costings by trying to get the transport down. Well, the transport's not the problem, is it? The fertiliser has gone up from £300 to about £1,300.
Well, we can't seem to get a straight answer regarding seaweed on you know, whether the seaweed is contaminated, whether it's got plastics in it, or whether it's got heavy metals, or whether the reason is that it would need to be cleaned, or the salt in it. We don't quite know, you know, which way is up with this and which story is straight. Is it worth using the several tons of seaweed that are beached every day on the Isle of Man for fertilizer, or isn't it? That's all we want to know.
That's exactly it. And you know, in these times, we talk about recessions and all this stuff coming on. This stuff should be revisited. And again, like you said there, all I've asked for is a clarified answer from someone who, not Karen, obviously, from Facebook, someone who obviously knows what they're talking about as to whether this could be used. I was talking to a guy 2 or 3 weeks ago who used to be involved with the Lits, who actually had a machine that was available to crush shells. Which obviously has got a high potassium rating, and was also, again, he offered it to the government for use to crush shells to a powder to be able to be used as fertiliser. And this was going back many years, but the government has refused that off this person. So again, stuff like this, in these times, do we not think that this should be revisited and looked at when we're talking about hard times coming up? And you know, again, we're self-sustainable. We could be even more self-sustainable if the government has a wish to be able to go down that road. That's the main thing.
The trouble is that you can't, sorry to mix my metaphors, but you can't push water uphill. Once we've lost things like Ramsay Bakery, once we've lost the big, I mean, just yesterday, obviously Muffins in Peel is going to close as well, a lot smaller than Ramsay Bakery, but it's important. And, the fewer of these things we have, you know, when the crunch comes regarding food, and when somebody in the UK decides they're going to prioritise their supply rather than ours, there's no point looking at each other gone out, because it'll be too late.
And this is my concern, and this is why I always say, you know, fight when you've got ground underneath you and not when you haven't got ground, because you've got no substance then. My question is, and I keep trying to get this out of politicians, have they got a will to continue farming and fishing? Because we know that this is not a will in the bigger scope of things. And we don't have to follow agendas. Again, something I keep saying, we don't have to follow world agendas. We could stand alone, and people would look at us and go, look at them guys, they're still self-sufficient, they've still got their own agriculture, and all these bigger agendas which seem to be going through at the moment from the globalists. We don't have to follow that, and that's my concern. I keep chomping on about it, but like you say, once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, if you look at the fishing industry now, I mean, the fishermen on the Isle of Man are paying 2.5 times more for marine diesel than they were a couple of years ago. Now, that can't be sustained in the financial model that they have. And as you say, somebody somewhere has got to decide, are we going to do something about it, or is it going to go to the wall?
Yeah, that's it. And this is down to whether they're prepared to stand out and stand up and say, no, this is not what's best for the island, and not follow these agendas. Because if people actually sit and study and they see what's going on around the world and what's actually happening, this is a far bigger picture. And we're small enough here to be away from all that and look after ourselves and say, no, thank you. We don't want to get involved with that. We're just going to stay nice and neat. We're going to do our best for the environment, but we need to look after our people. And I think that's where we should be. And again, it's whether we've got the will of Comin and the will of government and the upper civil servants who are giving this information to Comin to act on, whether they've got that best intention at heart. And just quickly, Andy, going off that a little bit, I've been on here a couple of times and talked about the housing crisis. And I've mentioned a couple of times about manufactured and modular homes. A report in the Irish Times the other day, locations across four counties for modular homes, because they've got a housing crisis in Ireland and Dublin, more to do with the huge amount of Ukrainian population that they've taken in there. But they have picked up on this modular home thing. And like I've said a couple of times on here, and I've said it to a couple of the ministers, if we're talking crisis in what I term as a crisis, then solve the crisis. Like, act on it now, what we can do now, what we can do with the budget that we've got, rather than talking about what we're going to do a year down the line. And to me, it would seem like a modular home park, which meets all with the climate change criteria, because you can put air conditioning in, you can put electric heat exchangers in, which is what most of America runs on, solves and ticks a lot of boxes. And also, you know, it gets people, you know, a home over the head. Once then people can be rehoused later, you can then use that as a holiday home.
When you talk about modular homes, this is not like Jeff Duke's sleep pods or anything like that.
No, I mean, if anyone looks at modular homes in America, I mean, they're built in a factory, and they're seamed together, they're put on site, and they're actually fantastic pieces of kit. When you get inside them, you wouldn't know the difference between that and a normal home. They're fully insulated. I mean, the lifetime span on them is pretty good. I mean, in America, they're done up to hurricane strength, so you've got no problems with winds. And like I say, they're all done with heat exchangers, so you've got no gas in them, you've got no solid fuels. So it ticks the boxes for the greenies,
right.
And it gets you out of a problem. So I don't see why people are not looking at this and saying, hey, this is our quick fix. This is how we get out of this problem. And let's get this done now. They've got plenty of land banked. And why can't they do to get over this problem and get people then on the way to getting a proper home?
Yeah.
I don't get why they're procrastinating so much on doing stuff and talk about it. You know, if we're going to do something, let's do it and get some action. Typical civil servant politician attitude, but you know, a business attitude is, let's get this done. Let's get it sorted. Let's get on with it.
Okay. When I said Jeff Duke, I meant Peter Duke, of course. I was channeling my inner Karen.
Your inner Karen. You have to be careful with that one, Andy. The green light scheme you were talking about, the green living scheme. I touched on that a little bit. I went on site to have a look, and it seems like you've got to jump through a lot of hoops to get anything near any kind of money off government, which is fine. Government haven't got money to spend willy-nilly, we know that, but although they do it on other things. But it seems you have to jump through hoops. To me, I'd be kind of putting my money in my pocket and getting on with it and just doing it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be an easy one. You know, they put it out there and made a big thing of it, and it doesn't seem to be an easy one to get your qualification for it, if you will.
Okay, all right, June, thanks for calling.
Cheers, Andy.
All right, it's a quarter to one on Manx Radio. The Douglas Council took away the groins, which is why there's no sand anymore and just stones on Douglas Beach. The groins kept the sand in the place. I don't know whether you remember a couple of months ago, was it? The heritage expert Charles Gard did a couple of videos about our heritage and the decrepit state of some of it, and he talked about those. But the groins on Douglas Beach... Well, is there a connection between the fact the groins have gone and the sand has gone as well? I agree with the comments about siloed governments, says Texas 607. And how is feedback given? We don't have opinion polls here, so as far as I can see, man in line is the feedback mechanism. Heavens, consultations focus on single issues. I'd like to see a survey here which invites the population to say how we think, says G. Texting in, by the way, I mean, the government, if you go to consult.gov.im, there are dozens of things where you can give your opinion. Now, you may not want to, you may think that it's the government just doing it for the sake of it, but the consultation documents are there. And, you know, if you don't give your opinion, government will draw its own conclusions. So you have to give your opinion. You have to say what it is that you think. So if you want to, if you get the consult.gov.im, there's a big page of stuff that they'd like your opinion on. Let me see here. Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Pastor Mike. Andy, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Just going back to those consultations, I think they did a consultation on the Manx Grand Prix, but I think they'd already decided. Like most of these consultations, they do them in reverse. They actually decide what they want to do and then put them out to consultation and just do it and say, oh, we consulted everybody. Anyway, I just wanted to say what a magnificent event the Mainz Grand Prix was this year and is. It's a shame that they had to shorten it so much. Any feedback that I've heard, the visitors coming over, they've been disappointed about the shortening of it. But perhaps that just has to be this year until they can get back on an even keel.
Well, you've got perspective on this because you've been in the hotel business for an awful long time. So can you just tell me, I mean, obviously we've had nothing since 2019, but what's the opinion, what's the trend in the opinion of the average MGP fan and spectator?
Well, they love it, but they've been very disappointed with the curtailment of it this year. From a personal point of view, rather than what other people have said to me, I would like the whole event to be lengthened out again. I think that the Classic should go on as long as the Mainz Grand Prix. I think it was a marvellous idea to have the actual last race was a Classic race this year on the senior day, and I just think that the way it happened this year, it seems to have been less them and us than it's been the last few years under the Classic TT banner. I think that kind of drove a wedge almost in between the Classic and the modern bikes and the riders and teams, etc. But I think it was much better this year from that perspective.
Obviously, in the hospitality industry, Michael, repeat bookings are very important. Tell me, have you got repeat bookings from this year's MGP for next year?
Absolutely, but nobody knows when to book from and to. that's the difficulty. Because who knows what they're going to do with the schedule. We did lose quite a lot of bookings. We weren't full by any means for the whole 2 weeks, but the second week we lost quite a lot of bookings off the end of it. So we just need a bit of certainty so that we know what we're going to sell for next year.
Michael, tell me, I just want to go back to this thing about the government consulting and the population, you know, people like you and me giving our opinion. I mean, let's assume that the government is honest, is altruistic in their motives, and that they genuinely want to know what people think. I mean, do you think people take it seriously? Do you think people give their honest opinion? Do you think people expect government to act on their opinion and their collective opinion?
I think most of us are pretty apathetic, to be honest, about most things. and anything that I have actually gone on to fill out or any consultancy thing, that certainly my opinion hasn't held sway, whether that's because everybody else who did the consultants didn't agree with me, which is highly possible, or whether it's just, like I said in the first place, that they just put it out there and then go ahead with what they actually wanted to do in the first place.
Okay. All right.
I couldn't actually tell you for sure which one of those would be correct.
Michael, I appreciate you calling in today. Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks, Andy. Bye.
All right, and a note in from Andy on Texter 667 who said, the Green Living Grant Scheme doesn't cover ASHP or PVs, does it? ASHP is an air source heat pump, of course, and a PV is a photovoltaic solar panel. So if the Green Living Scheme and Grant doesn't cover heat pumps and solar panels, when will they be included?
No setup hassles, no worries about data usage. Discover home Wi-Fi that just works with Manx Telecom's new best ever fibre broadband plans. You'll get a new router and Wi-Fi extender to boost coverage, expert installation, plus ongoing remote support to diagnose and fix any problems, and unlimited data. Move to a faster future with Manx Telecom fibre broadband. Visit manxtelecom.com/fibre now to get started.
On Saturday, the 17th of September, it's time to break free with Queen, Radio Gaga, when Manx Radio DJ Chris Williams will create a kind of magic on the dining car. So, dress up, enjoy a three-course meal and Queen's greatest hits. Tickets £49 per person, including food. Visit rail.im or book now on 697 457. Queen, Radio Gaga, in association with your nation station, Manx Radio.
Love visiting the island? You could stay for good. A&B Metals have vacancies for skilled metal fabricators now. It could be your chance to move here permanently. Call 457-881 now to find out more. A&B
Metals. Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
So, you think you know your TV theme tunes? Prove it, and you could win a £200 voucher to spend at 1886 Bar and Grill with Manx Radio and Tell Skips. This Saturday and Sunday, listen out for the clues on air and on Manx Radio's Facebook page. If you can guess the famous TV theme, text its name and your name to 166177 when you hear the cue to call, and you'll be in the draw to win. And remember, if you need a skip, just search Tells Limited or call 677 137. It's another winning weekend on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
Just a quick word to the wise, and we're looking for some help on this. The Manx Radio news team are looking into the prevalence of vaping, young people vaping on the Isle of Man. If it's something that's become a problem in your life or any young person within your life, then we'd like to hear from you. If you want to get in touch with newsroom@manxradio.com, the problem of vaping. Also in the UK, there's an issue with laughing gas over there, nitrous oxide. Apparently people are buying nitrous oxide and selling it on to 16-year-old. A 16-year-old girl's died of it in Wales. Let's just hope it's not going to be the next high for the Isle of Man. But certainly the problem of vaping. Groins control beach material and prevent undermining of the seawall by dispensing the waves' store of energy. That's the definition of groins. That's John. So surely we should have the groins back on the Isle of Man. I wonder what the wage bill is for the inspectors for the home audit. Probably more than the grants approved, says Dave. Well, again, this is something that, and I just keep pointing you to the fact that you couldn't move this time last year. We were in the run-up to the election, and you couldn't move for would-be politicians displaying proudly their green credentials. And as it happens at the moment, I just gave you the figures as to how many green living grants have been approved and what the situation is. So we'll see. There's been a road traffic collision in the area of the bungalow, and the mountain road is closed from the Leany Road to the bungalow, so please do avoid the area. That's a road traffic collision around the bungalow. Mountain roads closed from the Leany Road to the bungalow. The process for booking doctors seems to become impossible post-COVID. I spent 30 minutes on three consecutive days phoning to try and book a doctor's appointment recently during their appointment booking hours of 8:30 and 9. After 3 days of trying, I gave up. I took time off work to actually go to the surgery to make an appointment in person. I was told, no, you'll have to go home and call back tomorrow between 8:30 and 9. You can't book appointments in person or online. This just seems crazy. So what's going on with Manx Care? As I'm told by a receptionist that this is now standard policy, says this correspondent. Thank you, texter 520. Well, this Friday we'll be able to find out from the bosses. Andrew Foster is the chair of a Manx Care. Teresa Cope is the chief exec of Manx Care. Do you remember it was created by splitting off the DHSC from the operational part. Manx Care is about the care, where it's needed, when it's needed, how it's needed, from prevention to cure. So this Friday, the chief exec and the chair of Manx Care on Manx Radio. If you've got a question you want to put to them, well, you can try on the day or in the meantime if you want to. Call the answer phone on 682 631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. You're more than welcome to do so. Thanks for calling today. Thanks to producer Howard Kane. I'm Andy Wynn, back with another Open Line tomorrow at midday.
WINT.